Thank you, Billy, and thank you to John and the executive for inviting me here this morning, and I hope this is going to be of interest to you. It's a wee presentation, and it's called The Hidden History of Protestants in the Irish Language, and I know that's probably going to be a surprise to some of you, but hopefully by the end of it you might learn something. I'm going to take you back first of all to the Belfast of 1911. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Gran Irvine's wife and Aoife Irvine's sister-in-law. And last year I was filling in our census form, which I'm sure many of you did, and I did it online. And as well as that, I went in and I looked at the 1911 census, which you can do. You just go into this site. And we knew at that time Bran and David's grandparents were living in Frome Street on the Newton Orange Road. So we put the information in, and this is what came up. As grandparents, John and Mary, and before his father was born. But when we ticked the box in the corner, show all information, we got a real surprise, because it said that they had Irish language at this time. I'll leave it clear for you. Now, we never knew it was Irish language. We knew David, Gustav Spence, and Plum Smith, and other ones who'd learned Irish when they were in prison. But we never ever knew there was any Irish in the family. This was a real surprise, real shock. And with me, I wanted to find out a wee bit more information about the family. So this is the actual form we filled in, and their grandfather's signature there at the bottom. So this is the local church, Presbyterian church that they went to. And I took this photograph a few months ago. The Roll of Honour at the front, the same men who fought in the First World War. They all came back alive. Gran said they were good runners. This is also their signatures on the covenant. His grandfather and one of his uncles. So I started thinking, well, it had nothing to do then with their political outlook, it had nothing to do with religious outlook. So it made me think, you know, here were men who weren't on their own. There were a lot of people in East Belfast, a lot of people, especially the Shanka, who were Protestant but were Irish speakers. So here were men who, you know, built the Titanic.
These were the men of Tyrone, Londonderry, Monaghan and Cavendish and Donegal, the men of Armagh, Antrim and Fermanagh, who walked the bloody road to the Somme.
Men who fought in the war, you know, men who died in the First World War, men who signed the covenant, but they were also Irish speakers. So I wanted to do a wee bit of research and find out a wee bit more about the Irish language. And this is what I discovered. It's one of the oldest languages in Europe. It's older than English. It dates back to the Bronze Age. It's more than an Irish language. I think it's a bit wrong just to think of it as Irish, because it's a language that's spoken in all of Ireland, Scotland, the Isle of Man, Wales, Cornwall and Brittany, the Gaelic language, and it survives in many of those places still today. There are three different dialects, Ulster, Connacht and Munster. Now, in Donegal and in this region, it's the Ulster dialect, and that's what I've been taught, the Ulster dialect, which is closely linked to Scottish Gaelic. Scottish Gaelic is the same language. And this is the geographic distribution of Gaelic speakers in 2001. The darker colours are the biggest numbers. Now, ironically, if you're in Scotland and you speak Gaelic, most people probably think you're a Protestant, because that's what's associated with Presbyterians. So here's some information that I discovered. 95% of our place names are derived from the Irish language. Ballia means town or townland in Irish. So anywhere with the name Ballia is an Irish language name. Better still, I'm sure some of you recognise this place. Shankill is an Irish name. Shan Hill, and it means old church in Irish. The Old Cork Mill It's a landmark in East Belfast. Well, I always thought it was called after somebody called the Roman Court, but it wasn't. It's actually the site, it was the site of an earlier mill, a much earlier mill, way back in the 17th century, which was known, the area, as Olan Horka, which means the river of boats. And it tells us that there was an Irish-speaking settlement in East Belfast in the 16th century. This is the church that I belong to, East Belfast Mission, that I work for, and they've just got a big new building, Scanos. Their original church was knocked down, and when they did that, they had to dig up an old graveyard that was tarmacked over. And when they did that, they found remains of, you know, bodies, which had to be reinterred. And they went in and got a bit of information about some of the people that were buried there. And this is one guy, and he was a Methodist horseback preacher who travelled around Ireland evangelising. And he's a fluent Irish speaker, and he's actually buried there. If we think about Methodism, John Knox, the father of Methodism, the very first book ever printed in Gaelic was his prayer book. The language faced a decline in the 17th century. It was dying out. You know, the English language took over, and the English language was the language of education, or the language of modernity at that time. But it was middle-class Protestants who saved it. Without middle-class Protestants, we wouldn't have the Irish language. This guy in particular, Robert Shipboy McGowan, very, very famous, because he spent his time promoting the Irish language, saving old manuscripts, and in fact he did such a great job that Culturland, the centre of Irish language on the Falls Road, was called after him, and they have a beautiful bus stop from there, and they're very, very proud of him. The Gaelic League, which was set up to promote the language, was founded by a Protestant. He was the son of a Church of Ireland minister, and he said this, which I think is very sad how things have changed. The Irish language, thank God, is neither Protestant nor Catholic, Unionist nor Separatist, and that's how it was in 1905. It had nothing to do with religion, nothing to do with politics. The Belfast branch was formed at 32 Bearsbridge Road. So, once again, that is Belfast connection. Who supported the Gaelic League? Well, the Orange Order did. First Grand Master Lindsay Crawford, he was a patron, he was an Irish speaker. Another man, Dr. Richard Buckwich Cain, was a speaker and said that he signed the minutes of the meetings in Irish. This is a little quote from the Belfast Newsletter, the oldest newspaper in the world, and it says about an Orange procession that was stopped, but they were welcomed by Ced Míle Fáilte, a post of sympathy, which now has 100,000 welcomes in Irish. So there were people out watching the bands as we do today, but they were shouting Ced Míle Fáilte. There used to be an Irish language banner. It was done away with in the 70s, but it wasn't. It didn't get rid of it because it was Irish language. It was a different circumstance. When Queen Victoria came to visit here, she recorded in her diary that everywhere these banners, Ced Míle Fáilte, Ced Míle Fáilte, 100,000 welcomes. It was a Unionist city welcoming their Queen. The first Ulster Unionist Convention, and you can see the photograph there, this construction was built in Botanic Park, and God Save the Queen sits beside Erin Go Bragh, Ireland Forever. And at that time, all of Ireland was under British rule. Of course, it was before partition. Presbyterian Church, now they have a long history of Irish language. At one time, their ministers all had to have a knowledge of Irish because their congregations were Irish speaking, and they named it our sweet and memorable mother tongue. I'm sure people know this place. Okay, the attack there, the black man. But do you know who he is? Well, his name is Dr. Henry Cook. Centenary Church in Yama Road was named after him. Cook Street was named after him. He was Presbyterian moderator, champion of traditional Presbyterianism, stern Protestant. He was actually the paisley of his time. You know, he shouted out against home rule. But he was also an Irish speaker and promoter of the Irish language. Ironically, in the 1800s, the Roman Catholic Church tried to stamp out the Catholic language, the Irish language, because they connected it with paganism and superstition. So who speaks Irish? Fatabala is their motto, and it's Gaelic, and it means clear the way, clear the way. Fian Ba, it actually is an Irish, it's slightly anglicised. So who else speaks Irish? Well, the Red Hand Commando use Irish for their motto. This is on the Shanko. Ballybean, there we have it. Lab Yuri Kaboo, victory to the Red Hand. And up on the street, the Newton Arch Road. Also, new Lord Mayor Gavin Robinson, if he looks closely at his chains, it says Éireann Go Bra, Ireland Forever, Gaelic. Ironically, in Dublin, the Lord Mayor of Dublin has King Billy on his. A big grammar school in France in Hollywood, Sullivan Upper, they claim to be the only school in Ireland who have an Irish language badge, which all their children wear on their blazers. So a big Protestant grammar school says Lav Fish Mac and Upter, with the gentle hand foremost. Another little local primary school, Knocknagunny, uses the sign the Hill of the Rabbits, because that's what Knocknagunny means, the Hill of the Rabbits. The Ulster Bank in Bangor, if you look closely, says Lab Yurik and Earn, Red Hand of Ireland, because that's their motto. If you like expensive tea, Merchant Hotel, they were the headquarters, Lab Yurik and Earn. This is Fitzroy Church in University Street. They have an Irish language service every third week of the month, interdenominational Protestant Church Irish language. Even the PSNI have got involved now. Judith Gillespie, she's learning Irish, and a lot of the police are learning Irish for different reasons now that we're in peace times. Also, our own Queen. Oh.
Aughtoron Argus Akoida.
Okay, people might say it's a dead language. Well, that's not the truth. It's been through a big resurgence, and actually Belfast is the fastest growing urban area for Irish language. It's in the media now. We have schools. There are 35 primary, 45 preschools, and one man school. Interestingly enough, they don't affiliate themselves with the Catholic Church. The Irish medium schools are independent of the Catholic Church, and that's a choice they made and something they're very proud of. There are more newspapers, magazines, books now published in Irish than there has been in the last 150 years. Census figures, so the numbers of people who claim to have a knowledge of Irish in Northern Ireland. And interestingly enough, nearly 11,000 of those are Protestant. So, do you speak Irish? And I think this is where you're going to be really surprised. Well, if you were brogues, if you enjoyed crack, if you've ever been terrified by stories of the Banshee, get up to your neck and clabber, take a slug of anything, drink potching, or maybe you're the sort of person who frequents Shebeens, and I think he's another Shebeen. If you eat Dulles or Griscoes, get a big scalp around the legs, have a big gob, wherever we babby, visit the glens or the locks, get up at the scrape of dawn, wear a sparn, or tail braids, eat barn wrap, and pack is just exactly what you think it is. Another little thing, the word smashing, well, you know, smashing means it's great, but it doesn't make any sense in English, because it came from Irish, and in Irish, to say something's great, you say, is my shin, and that means that is great, is my shin. And English speakers thought Irish speakers were saying smashing. The word smithereens, which means lots of little bits, came from the Irish as well. The word in Irish is smidgerina, smidgerina. Our English word whiskey came from the Irish, ishtabaha, which means the water of life, the water of life, and that's why the Irish are great drinkers. Yeah. And digging to in Irish means, do you understand? And we think that that's why we associate it with hippies and things. People say, you dig it, you dig it. But it was people going over, Irish famine, Irish settlers going over and saying, digging to Americans, but they're saying, do you dig it? When we say we understand something, we say, you twig on. Well, the answer to in digging to is take them, I understand. So that's where we get twig on from. So then structure of our language. Well, standard English, you'd say don't laugh. We wouldn't say that in Belfast. We would say don't be laughing. And that comes from the Irish. Na be a Gary, na be a Gary, don't be laughing. Standard English, you'd say he pretended he didn't hear me. We would say he let on, he never heard me. Once again, it comes from the Irish. Leek she er na hula she me. Standard English, you'd say he went out. Here in Belfast, we'd say he's after going out, because that's what you say in Irish. Ta she nye golamank. Ta she nye golamank. He's after going out. Standard English, you say he's here every Monday. We don't say that. We say he be's here on Monday. Bein she and shaw to loon. Now, I'm an English teacher by trade, and what I realised now, everything that I corrected in my pupils grammar was actually right in Irish. Because you can say use in Irish and use in. Did you forget anything? No. We would say, did you leave anything? And that's what you say in Irish. Arrive to rather leave. Standard English, have you caught a cold? No. In Belfast, we have the cold on us. Because in Irish, illnesses are on you. And will slide north. Will slide north. He lost my money? No. He lost the money on me. How is she in Tarragorn? He broke her window? No. He broke the window on her. Bris she and in your erhi. Bris she and in your erhi. So, what I just want to leave you with today is, you know, we have this thing about Ulster Scots and Irish. Well, internally, we're speaking Ulster Scots and Irish every day. Internally, the two cultures live side by side. It's not a choice, one or the other. We have a richness in culture, and we're entitled to both. So language is neutral. It's only a tool used to communicate a message. Thank you.